Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Champs at Last, the podcast where we just chat shit about wrestling. I'm Andrew, and as always, I'm joined by Lee. How are you, mate? You good?
Yep, not too bad, not too bad. How about yourself?
I mean, I'm doing all right. You have a little problem with the button there, did you? You have a little trouble with the mouse clicking, was it?
I literally hit the wrong button next to me.
The fact and that then, your face...
flipped it off.
Oh my God! Jesus, what's going on with this? I wish the people at home could have seen it because it made me laugh. The fact that I went on here, said the intro, I thought, I don't know what I'm going to say about this. Nothing really interesting has happened at all. I've got no patter. Your infuriated face made it all worthwhile. So thank you, mate, for this little bit of time filler.
I'm glad I've got you through your day.
And it's also nice, though, that I'm not the only person who flips off inanimate objects.
To be honest, I learned that from you. I definitely picked it up from you. I flipped the phone off at work the other day.
Amazing. That is peak flipping things off, to be honest.
Thing is, I flipped the phone off because I couldn't reach it because my shoulder went. So then I flipped the phone off just for being there.
That's fine. Yeah. That's all it takes sometimes. Stupid man of objects.
I'm a man close to the edge most days at the moment.
I feel that this is going to be, well, I'm going to say a streamlined episode. It won't be once we get into it, we digress and we just chat shit and I forget what's going on and we go off on tangents. But I feel to begin with, it's going to be, what have we watched? Not a lot, to be honest. I've forgotten what's already happened on Raw, so I don't really give a shit. An Impact Rebellion pay-per-view happened. By all accounts, it looked pretty good. You got good reviews and stuff. I've seen across
things.
The cars. Looks good.
I think Matt Cardona got injured in the match and had to stop it.
Okay.
But I don't know if that was storyline because I didn't read that much into it, to be honest.
It looked a little storyline-ish, but I haven't read since, obviously.
Yeah, it looked like his knee blew out in the picture or so.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But yeah, apparently Omega versus Swan was a banger. But would you expect anything less?
No, not really. Also, the fact that I didn't expect anything less than a Kenny win, because is Rich Swan really winning the AEW Championship?
There's a lot of talk about it being a dusty finish and no belts being exchanged.
Fuck that, man. Give him all the belts, man. Fuck it.
So it's going to be interesting to see what belt he goes on to next. I do like a good belt collector gimmick, to be fair.
How heavy is he, then?
Who? Omega.
Yeah, how heavy is he?
206.
Oh, bastard. You know, I'm always looking for something to put the cruiserweight on.
Well, apparently, WWE are open for business with other promotions.
As long as it's not AEW, I assume.
And I assume so. But they're in talks with MLW.
Okay.
Which is it's like roughly the same size as Evolve used to be, I guess. But yeah, they've got a Samoan powerhouse champ who could actually work.
It's not SmackDown.
Yeah, who could probably work a decent storyline with Roman Reigns.
Okay.
You know, if only they had like another Samoan within the company to help bridge the gap. I don't know, maybe someone like Samoa Joe.
In fairness, he was from California.
Yeah, still Samoan. It's in his name, bro. It's in his name. And also, Impact are teasing the return of Samoa Joe on next pay-per-view. Do you know, like, last year
fair,
for
even if he doesn't show up. Yes.
Yeah, I'll probably do the same again this year.
Yeah, I mean, even if he doesn't show up. It's good booking, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, Samoa Joe used to work for us. He's a free agent at the moment. that's good shit. If they mention CM Punk in any way, the internet will go, it's going to show up, let's buy. You know, so come on.
It's easy money for marks like us, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Shooting fish in a barrel for him.
It really fucking is, yeah.
So, I believe we both watched NXT this week.
Yes, I always make time to try and watch that. A quick point on NXT UK from last week, and I haven't actually watched this week, so we have enough time, but I believe last night was a classic loser leaves the brand. Kenny Williams versus Amir Jordan. So,
I'm not being funny, but who cares if either man leaves that brand?
The lowest stakes loser leaves the brand I've ever seen, I think. But because I've been playing so much GM mode, I love the fact that they've gone with a loser leaves the brand. I nearly ran that storyline with Undertaker, but I was fearful he might win. I could have done him versus Cena, because Cena is currently... I think the Great Khali might be more popular than him.
No.
It's close.
What,
I think
Khali?
I think Khali's...
You're finally building him.
No, no, Khali, no.
He's a free agent.
Bollocks, I brought him in because my show was in India. Like my first show after Mania, I think, was in India. So I went, Khali, you're free agent. In you come, son. A few people need a win. I'll stick you in a...
Main event him.
Yeah. Not that much.
You put him in a 1-on-3, didn't you?
Yeah, of course he did, because the likes of Mysterio and that needed a win, so stuck
them
all together. Stop burying
the boy, man.
No, he won. He was the 3.
Oh, he was in the 3?
Yeah, because I obviously knew he was going to win, so I put him up against some other dweeb in his hometown. Not like Bobby Lashley, who decided to lose his United States Championship in his hometown. I was like, you damn swat, Bobby. You've had it for so long, and then you lose it in your hometown, idiot. But yeah, I think he's a 63. Cena might be a 68.
Oh.
And I'm giving him talk time. I'm Matthew's trying to get him wins. And he drops, if he talks on the mic, he drops fucking proper. I'm like, what are you doing, John? In reality, you're a charismatic guy on the mic. That's probably what kind of got you over. How on earth are you ruining this in the game? I don't know. So he's a bit shit. And I could have done him versus Taker and I lose the brand. But instead, I traded Taker, like I said I was going to.
Oh, you finally got rid of Taker.
Yeah, him and Melina for Lita. So I've got Edge and Lita now.
I can't believe you got rid of Melina.
It was a hard choice, mate, but without Johnny Nitro and the fact I don't really have a women's division, it was kind of pointless. So,
yeah, but she was essentially queen of your mid-card.
She was decent, yeah. 70
like,
rating.
Like, if you could have put a belt on her, you probably would have done.
I tried. She kept coming in for the contenders. She was up there for a US title shout. Ironically, she could have been a cruiserweight, but they wouldn't let her.
Shall we go back to real life?
NXT is wrestling real life, but sure, yes. NXT, it was good. I remember texting you saying Pete Dunne is pure sex.
Yep.
The only person I could text that with no context at all. And you would probably get it.
Yeah, and then he cuts probably in the best promo of his career.
It was very good.
I wonder how many takes it took, but...
One. Don't break gay nearly. One. Ruined the mistake.
It was good. Some good shit. What was also good shit? Ted DiBiase.
The first video, I went, it's a nondescript man sat with a paper covering his face in this diamond store. Interesting. Oh, we're going to come back later for another segment. Okay.
To be continued.
Yes. Forgot about a little bit, to be honest, as they had a match or so in between. Things were going on. And they went back, we're coming back. Oh, it's got to be Ted DiBiase now, surely. And I'm like, yeah, son. Lovely. Lovely. I want another appearance. I want someone else next week with him. I'll be happy with that.
Want Virgil? You want Virgil and Ted DiBiase?
No.
Bring back the old dream to you.
I do not. I do not want Virgil. I don't think Virgil's coming back.
I would love that. I would love to see how I would push the slavery gimmick now.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I'm struggling to think about what else happened on NXT.
If I'm honest, all of my notes on NXT are not really about the matches and stuff. I remember it being an entertaining show, and I text you saying, mate, it's just some good kind of bollocks this week. It's nice and easy, good watch. But yeah, in terms of matches, they happened. Grizzly Young Veterans were great, called people knobheads, which always makes you laugh because Americans don't understand what it means. And I'm like, ha, 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 knobheads. And this passed on actual television. Lovely. To a George Michael reference from Killian Dane.
Yeah. Also, going back to the Grizzled Young Veterans segment, Timothy Thatcher was at his most intimidating presence ever.
He's most Thatcherish.
He was just there, screaming in his face, like a football hooligan, essentially.
I'm really going, if I was James Ray for one, I'd be going, oh, shit. Because it's going to be me that takes the beating. Oh, shit. You just know he's going to be the one they're going to target. But then Hot Tag's like, oh, shit, I'm going to get battered.
And Thatcher got himself heated in that segment. He was good to go.
He nearly pulled his own teeth out again, didn't he?
That's a great gimmick, that is. But yeah, Killian Dane making a George Michael reference, as you said.
Very, very odd show.
Yeah. And also then Drake Maverick going, did he just make a George Michael reference? Really hammering it home.
Yeah, it worked. It's weird shit. Adam Cole being an arsehole. Fantastic.
Was that the bit with Kyle O'Reilly was watching on the TV?
Yeah, when they came back to afterwards. Yeah.
I thought that bit was weird. The Adam Cole being an arsehole on a pool, I was like,
That was kind of what he was doing originally when they came over, wasn't it? But obviously just dialed it up a bit more. I also have sort of the same sunglasses as him. They are, I think, the same sunglasses. So I was kind of happy
near as cool as Adam Cole.
Are you saying because my sunglasses are prescription because I'm a specky four eyes, I'm not as cool as Adam Cole?
No, I'm just saying if you had full 20/20 vision, you still wouldn't be as cool as Adam Cole.
Good note. Okay. Reminder to self, even with perfect vision, still not as cool as Adam Cole. Cool. Thanks for the confidence boost. So that was pretty much NXT. Big whoop, it happened. You know, fine. AEW, none of us really watched it. I've read results.
Not even read results.
Again, it seemed okay. Great promo between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle.
Parlay, I believe they called it.
Little parlay, indeed. Very good. Ruined a little bit by Tully Blanchard's sparkly jacket.
What? Oh, I need to go see this.
It doesn't suit what I feel the Pinnacle are going for. I know MJF wears the silk scarf and everything that he got last week and it's supposed to be that thing, but I don't know. He was almost as if he was wearing a jacket that ironically Chris Jericho would wear.
Yeah, and that's what I was just about to say.
And yeah, go check it out. It's a weird one, mate. And now I've told you, you won't be able to not look at it.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it may be excited for that Blood and Guts match if it delivers.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's going to be fucking good, to be honest.
I can't wait to watch that next week at some point.
Yeah, it does look pretty good.
Because it's now taken War Games.
Yeah, is it just on TNT?
Just on TV.
Sure, okay.
Should give them a boost in the ratings, hopefully.
Indeed, yeah, at least until the NHL wants to put a hockey match on, I suppose.
Until they get bumped to a Tuesday night at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, standard. Okay. Well, enough of the fluff. We don't care. Let's get straight on to the main event. And I believe we are still 2014, I think.
Yep.
Correct.
May 29th.
Okay.
2014.
Sweet.
I made a note of the date.
Good. I didn't go back and check it, so thank you. I knew it was around summertime in 2014. But we are talking about NXT TakeOver. The first one with that moniker, obviously after NXT Arrival. There will be other iterations of the name before they then just call them TakeOvers for the whole time. This is the second official TakeOver for NXT. A little bit of context for us. As we were correct in saying last time, Paige has gone to WrestleMania. No, sorry, the Monday night after WrestleMania yep. and beaten AJ Lee. So she now...
I don't know why. I thought you were going to say AJ Styles. And really thought you were going to say AJ Styles.
I'm surprised I didn't.
I was just about to go, whoa, 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 and this isn't SmackDown versus Raw 2007.
To be honest, I'd book it. If they're both popular, I'd book it. Yeah, so Paige has won the title. We will get into the repercussions of that later on. A little side note, but from the starting video and vignettes they had, I made it that the Wyatt family have been called up. Big E's obviously already been called up.
Yeah.
And they're kind of showing you the people that have been doing things since NXT, and that's why they're taking over.
It was like a past and present sort of showcase, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the fact that I was watching that in Spanish, Lee, because on my PlayStation, I put it on there, on the network. And I was like, this seems a bit off. Maybe they're just, I don't know, doing like worldwide things about it, you know. Everyone's talking about NXT. These guys have moved up. So I'm thinking, yeah, sure, it's just news footage and they're just plonking in some prongs. And then they actually cut to the arena. I was like, nope, that's definitely the Spanish lad who's now commentating on this. What the fuck is going on? They wouldn't let me change it to English. Even like it said it was on English. I changed it to Spanish and then back to English. I heard Tom Phillips for one sentence. Then it flipped back to Spanish. I went, nah, something's rough with this.
Please tell me you watch the whole show.
No, mate, if it hadn't have worked on the iPad, on the actual app for it instead, if that hadn't have been in English, I 100% would have had to watch the entire show in Spanish.
Amazing. Amazing.
And I feel that would have been an interesting podcast for us. However, do you remember how many times I've said to you, Lee, can we just put the Spanish commentary on?
Yeah.
It very nearly happened. So, yes.
But the thing is, you could barely make it out the opening video package without wanting to switch back.
I was curious. I didn't mind it. If I'd have gone further from there, I'd be like, nah, I don't believe this. Especially as I know it's Regal on there. How many times did I text you with just little things that Regal said? Half my notes, a lot of the time, are just random Regal quotes. I wouldn't be getting those in Spanish, would I?
No. In fairness, if you did, there'll be some very interesting sayings.
I'd love to have seen, if it was just a straight up translation of it, that'd be brilliant.
So the show starts off with one of your favourites. I don't care if he is or not, I'm just saying it for shits and giggles. Adam Rose.
I liked him at the time.
He was fucking over.
He was fucking over. Final note on the match, Rose is over. My word. Yeah, they love that guy.
Bit of a hot take going against the NXT crowd. I always preferred his Leo Kruger gimmick a bit more.
I'm shocked by that.
Considering the Leo Kruger gimmick was basically him in his South African accent.
Wow. I mean, yeah. But no, but it was bollocks, though. I swear it was bollocks.
Oh, and Adam Rose is any better.
I mean, there's a reason he got... Well, he was also a prick, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a prick.
Yeah.
And also, most of his Rosebuds become on to be...
Here we go. So, Becky Lynch, Tucker, Braun Strowman, Simon Gotch, Carmella. I think one was Dasha Fuentes.
Yeah, I think... The famous picture of Nose Rosewood must be from that show.
It's got to be, because those are probably the main ones, I think. have kind of actually went on and did shit that you know about.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to ignore Camacho in my knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they did all that bollocks to then have a match that was Adam Rose versus Camacho.
Do you know who Camacho is? I'll be surprised if you do, to be fair.
I don't. I obviously remember him at the time and being Camacho. Yeah. But
he's he's actually quite a successful wrestler now.
Good. I'm glad.
He was the fifth member of Bullet Club in Japan.
Not bad. Because, I mean, he's doing nothing in this match, though. So go on.
Yep. He's now one half of the Gorillas of Destiny in New Japan.
Okay.
Probably, I think they might be one of the most successful tag teams ever.
Decent. What's his name now?
Now he's it's basically him and his Samoan brother, who I think they're actually brothers, to be fair. Brilliant. Can't remember their names off the top of my head, but the team's called Gorillas of Destiny.
Fine.
They're the ones that swear a hell of a lot in their matches. And because it's Japan,
they don't censor any of it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they called someone a cunt in one of the matches.
Unfortunately, I don't know how to spell gorillas. Oh, I get you. So it's a Tamatonga and Tangaloa. So it's
got there you go.
Right.
It's Tangaloa.
I get you. Yeah, okay. All right. I genuinely didn't know that was Camacho. So,
yeah.
And, oh, no, I can see him now. Okay. Oh, fair play to him.
Yeah, because I've googled some of the
Have you seen their Bullet Club t-shirt? It's beautiful. I'll send it to you later.
Yeah, please do.
That is gorgeous.
Oh, speaking of Bullet Club, on a side note, your best friend El Fantasma.
Yep.
He's going to be on Impact Wrestling next week.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So you can find some footage in that and tell me all about it.
I will.
Because I won't be watching.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. I laugh that Regal is out with Adam Rose, and I 100% bought it. Oh, we go. Yes, I can see if this was a real thing. I would 100% buy that Regal would be invited out and they would do it. Of course they would. Also laughed at him saying, Rose can't have this carefree attitude when facing someone of the magnitude of Camacho. Oh, God, Regal, you are just... You can sell ice to an Eskimo. You are absolutely chatting shit here. Like, just, you can sell anything. Because no offence, what have you just said of Camacho now? They are doing him no service in this match.
No.
Glorified squash this shit. Yeah. It is pointless. They've put Adam Rose so over from the start of the show to the whole crowd been into it. Camacho is just there to just be a stooge.
He's
and Regal trying to tell me shit is like, nah, son.
He's basically in the CJ Parker in the night.
As CJ Parker didn't feature, yes. Yes, he is. Another man who also went to on pretty well in Japan for it.
Yeah. I believe he might have been a Rosebud on the night as well. Pretty sure I saw him in the background.
No, I don't think so. Not that I call it anyway. Obviously Adam Rose wins. So. Then we move on to a little segment with Sami Zayn. That's his little hype video.
White meat babyface promo.
Oh, it was so weird to me of how babyface Sammy was.
Yeah.
From what he is now and how good he is at being a real cowardly heel. No, it's not even that. It's just irritating and like a cowardly heel. And that one where you think, sure, he's obviously not a prick. Like it's Sami Zayn. He's probably the nicest guy on the fucking roster. Like outside of Big E or someone. And yet, he's just so good at being just needling at people, just doing stupid things that the crowd are supposed to hate, but smarks obviously love that. You know, it's just that perfect indie bollocks. Still,
his promos are so much better now.
Oh, obviously, that's what I'm saying. It's literally sort of the same as Adrian Neville's when we get to him. Just so babyface. It's
But Neville just wanted to be a bastard. And they wouldn't let him be a bastard.
Exactly there, going how clean cut he is and saying everything. You're going, shut up. I've seen you like anywhere else. You are literally the bastard. It's like, this doesn't work.
I've seen him scowl at children at shows. So.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was kind of weird to just see Sammy in that vein. But I would have remembered being at the time 100% on board with Sammy. I'd be probably texting you, just going, oh, they've got to let Sammy go over, man. They've got to let him win the title at some point. Probably not yet, because it's still early, and obviously Neville's only in the infancy of his title reign. But later on, I'm like, wow, I can't believe like Sammy's not won. Sammy has to win this week. How they did it was just great, to be honest. That then moves on to another Ascension match.
Whoa. Just before that.
Was it? Oh, okay. Cool.
You had Aiden Styles on the mic in the ring.
Oh, tell me that Tyler Breeze has now entered the building.
Fucking love that bit.
It's just little
touches on the gimmick which just make it genius.
We'll get to Tyler Breeze in a bit, but how that character's evolved, even from one takeover to this,
it's
incredible so far. So, yeah. But, so it leads us on to the Ascension in another match where they come out first.
Yep.
Which always pisses me off.
Weird.
Especially when against the Lucha Dragons,
No. This is the Lucha Dragons.
It's not their collective title. I thought they called the Lucha Dragons.
This is just Kalisto and El Loco.
El Local.
Yeah.
No, I genuinely still thought they were called the Lucha Dragons when they set up the thing.
This is just two separate people. Just both happened to wear masks. It was the early blueprint for a Lucha Dragons, but
I get that, but I honestly thought they introduced the mouse to Lucha Dragons as well.
No, I did my research on this just to double check. Do you know who El Local was?
Yeah, El Local. It's Ricky Rodriguez.
It is.
Which surprised me because he was dog shit.
Yep. This was his last NXT appearance. And he got released in July, which is why I made a note of the date.
Dog shit. Oh my God, dog shit. He made Sin Cara look like Bret Hart. Like dog shit.
Who?
Sin Cara Grande.
No, it was not about Bret Hart.
Oh, yeah. Who? All right, we'll get to that later. Pointless match, to be honest. Glorified squash. Police still look pretty good.
I skipped it as soon as it was someone called El Local. And I was like, jobber. Let's move on.
Fucking terrible. So, it was in that period where the Ascension had reign over all of NXT, like tag teams, but they weren't building anything else up. And so it got to that point where they had to get called up.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, they didn't do anything with them afterwards. There's still a strange case for me, then.
I'm scratching my head currently to figure out how they dropped the belt. I can't figure anything out in my head. The timeline just doesn't tie up.
I'm trying to remember, and I'm hoping as I kind of keep watching stuff, I'll get to a point where I go, yeah, of course, this is the team that kind of changed things.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the moment, it just feels like they're putting together random people to just have a tag team to kind of do stuff with them. So not great, if I'm honest, for that match. Then, as Tyler Breeze is now in the building, he gets his own little promo video.
Yep.
And I remembered the reason why Tyler was probably one of my favourite guys in NXT. I would say 6 months after this, for about a solid year, this is my dude. You'd probably remember me talking about this is my dude.
Can I just point out, which I probably never noted at the time, but looking back with a bit of hindsight, Tyler Breeze and John Morrison have very, very similar gimmicks, and you mark out for both of them.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I can see that.
So you really like the model pretty boy.
I would argue that Tyler Breeze is a little bit more charismatic than John Morrison is. John Morrison gets me more with his flippy shit and that sort of stuff. And just
John Morrison has a weird charisma where he kind of doesn't come across in the ring sometimes, and it definitely doesn't come across on the mic.
No.
But he somehow still has charisma.
Yeah, it is odd.
I can't figure it out.
Maybe a little bit like Jeff Hardy in that way. The charismatic enigma.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, a few years ago, I'd like to see Jeff Hardy win the belt again. Not so much now, because, you know, and I've ruined him.
Nah.
But yeah, I never wanted to get that far with John Morrison, to be fair.
Really? So, yeah, I'm going back to that point that you were making about Tyler Breeze. So, Tyler Breeze is my guy. You always say to me, the Fandango is your boy. You love the Dangler. So, together, you know, I love Breeze, you love Dango.
This should be our favourite tag team.
Should.
Instead, they're like Bang Average.
fashion police.
Oh, if only there was called that, that would make more sense. Don't start me on that.
Fashion police versus the Ascension. That never actually culminated in a match. It was just the Ascension going missing can we be part of the investigations? But we'll never have matches. Fucking WWE. What the fuck were they doing? Jesus Christ.
Can we just talk about some good wrestling?
We can, because finally we get to match on this card. And we have Sami Zayn versus Tyler Breeze. And Tyler does now have his iconic theme music. And I fucking loved it. I loved it. I want to go back and watch some of those ones in between, because they showed him like making that music video and stuff and recording and it was hilarious. So I do want to check that out.
Honestly, I didn't make too many notes in this one because I ended up just watching it.
Pretty much the same, if I'm honest. I was more kind of the same as you did before, just sort of thinking how things could have gone. Like with Tyler, I always felt that they could have pulled the trigger any time. Because to be honest, these guys have a great fucking match here. It is excellent. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I know full well there is a fatal four-way that comes about.
I believe this is the start of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be. Because this is for the number one contender for Adrian Neville and Tyson Kidd for the main event. So, you know, they have a fucking great match. And that's why it was always a shame that they didn't pull the trigger on Tyler. It's weird that he was never an NXT champ when you look at things like this. I think it's because there was always another star that was there.
He was always
not quite that guy. Because Sammy was always plan B. Sammy's there. Obviously, Neville is there at the same time.
Yeah.
And if you'd have gone Tyler Breeze versus Bo Dallas, fine. But it was two heels, so that wasn't going to work at that pay-per-view. So Neville was the obvious choice to go over for that feud. Then obviously, you've got Sammy, who's coming off the big feud against Cesaro, massive babyface, so they're probably going to push him. And that whole redemption story that eventually comes about of him winning the title, to then obviously KO showing up and the beautiful destruction that comes about from him.
Because I think, looking back at the time, trying to gather my thoughts, he was always in these marquee matches, but you never actually quite thought he was actually going to win them. Maybe the first couple of times.
He does win this match.
Yeah.
And I was totally in my head watching it thinking, oh, Sammy's going to win. Because I just thought that was kind of what it was. And I went, oh, shit, they did. They did go with...
And I remember this spot at the end, which, to be honest, is a...
I can't believe they've not done it again. Yeah.
superb.
I honestly can't believe that doesn't happen more often because it works. It's perfectly legal.
It created a great grey area.
Yeah. Where it wasn't a low blow.
Yeah, where it was kind of heelish, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could deem it as a low blow.
Yeah.
But technically, he was just defending his pretty face.
Exactly.
So, therefore, it really worked. And I was like, great stuff. But yeah, Tyler Breeze was... He was never quite going to be the man in NXT. I think the biggest match he actually got was his last one on the TakeOver, which was Yushin Thunder Liger.
Hall of Famer, Yushin Thunder Liger. Yeah.
Legend.
Classic, that was. Couple of other stupid points, obviously. They're picked up from there.
What does Regal say in this match, Andrew?
I don't have a Regal quote for this match, unfortunately. That's to come in a moment. No, it was more, it must have been raining in Florida that day, because there is just an errant umbrella on by the guardrail that someone's just kicked underneath and not brought back yet. So that was beautifully on television, just someone's umbrella slayed on the floor. And then I did enjoy I think it was probably Tom Phillips. He goes, Sammy has been on the lips of John Cena. And I'm like, no, don't do it, Sammy. We all know this is what fucking happens. You got so fucking hyped up. You went to go see Big John on the grandest stage. He's there holding that US title, that brilliant open challenge he had every bastard week. You went out there, got really pumped up. Unfortunately, you stayed hyped, as Mojo Rawley would say. And you popped your fucking shoulder out, you daft bastard. So, yeah, he just brought back terrible memories for me. I was like, Sammy, stay safe, will you?
And then still wrestled a phenomenal 20-minute match on Raw.
Fucking insane. Literally popped your shoulder out, immediately running down the ramp, throwing his arms in the air. Who does that? Jesus Christ, Sammy. Yeah, so, banger of a match. Amazing. Cheeky little shout-out to Legends House. That was getting a special special start time after the now infamous Facebook Live videos that Triple H does, although this was just live on the network back in those days.
Because they also advertised Legends House in Natty versus Charlotte as well.
They do, naturally. Even though neither of those legends appear in Legends House, it's more insane than that. And to be honest, if we could go back and watch Legends House and do that possibly on here, I would be 100% down for that.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm all for one because I thought exactly the same.
As soon as they're going, if we have to watch this again, Lee, I wouldn't be against it. Oh, jeez.
Well, we need to now talk about the next segment.
We do.
Just let me go off on a little bit of rant on this one. So, Rusev appears.
A man who... As we were saying before, like Big E's been called up, the Wyatts have been called up. Obviously, Alexander Rusev has now been called up, has already lost his first name, and is very much not Bulgarian anymore.
Yeah. Literally, I've just put, since arrival, he has changed his nationality and lost his first name already.
Yep.
Literally three months, maybe. Maybe not even that.
Not even that, because it was just before Mania.
And I was just like, fuck the main roster, just fuck it.
Bonkers, isn't it?
I was like, because he just wasn't as cool. Don't get me wrong, he comes out in a fucking tank at the following WrestleMania and, you know, all hail Rusev.
How we didn't go over in that match, I'm still salty about that, though.
But as you said, it led to the greatest US Open challenge ever.
It did, but still.
But, you know. If a man comes out in a tank, he should probably win the match, to be fair.
I do have a Regal quote for this segment. It was the delightful, I can't see anything going wrong in this man's career.
Really?
Well done, Riggs. Spot on with that one, lad. Well played. I mean, sure, he married Lana. But she has a spot still on the roster, but Miro does not. I also like the fact that we got to see Latin John Favreau. It's our first spot so far. A reference that only you and I will get, Lee. as we spot random people in the crowd that we remember. But yeah, Latin John Favreau and his lad were there.
Nice.
They're on the side. They weren't obviously on the front row bit. They were on the entrance ramp. Good lads.
Is that the one who covers his son's ears when there might be potential?
Yeah. In the days where he used to be like bullshit or something like that, whatever it was. Yeah. No, it was holy shit, wasn't it? Of course, the classic holy shit. He'd be there holding his ears and still screaming at the same time. Love that guy. And then he gets a little bit older and he lets him shout holy shit. That's when the glorious. And it also says a lot when Mojo Rawley's your fucking saying, you're in it. You know, here comes Rusev, fucking beast, and all NXT can send out is, bollocks, we've got Mojo Rawley, we'll send him out. Yeah. He gets destroyed, which is hilarious. And then one last William Regal quote from the segment. This is a great country, just needs a population transplant.
Yep.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, Mr. William Regal. And we will move on.
I'm now convinced this must be his last takeover commentary. Got to be.
Oh, he's chatting absolute shit. It's so good. So it turns out there is a tournament for the vacant title, which I vaguely remember because when obviously they put the card out and it was Natty versus Charlotte, I was going, yeah, no one's champ yet, are they? Because it's vacated. And I thought, nah, I do. And I was, yeah, a tournament. Obviously, they'd go back to it. So I definitely didn't remember that it was Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte in one semi-final. I don't know how many rounds they had. I don't know if it was like quarter-finals to
semis. Yeah, quarter-finals.
I can't imagine it was that many rounds, to be honest. So they didn't have that many rounds. And Natalya beat Sasha Banks in the other one.
Who was probably running the Ratchet gimmick at the time.
Ooh, not sure. They were definitely the BFFs.
Yeah, no, definitely the BFFs.
Because obviously Charlotte was in Sasha's corner.
Yeah.
And Sasha was in Charlotte's corner. Much like they sort of ran afterwards, but I think was it more with Sasha and Bayley when they did it? When each was in the opposite corner.
Was it somewhere right?
No. I'm talking like a main roster, like more recent.
I'm sure
they kind of ran it that way, didn't
they? Yeah, yeah.
And then, I know Summer... Actually, Summer Rae might have been... one of the roads, but still, actually, possibly. Not sure.
I think it was a three-piece.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, when Summer Rae turns up afterwards, you are correct. So that was kind of the semi-final. So again, I might, in my own time, just go back and maybe watch a couple of the interim ones, just to see kind of how that tournament progressed and sort of what they were running, because we've not really seen Sasha Banks at all yet.
To be honest... She looked completely different.
Yeah.
Like, she looked very indie 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And to be honest, not saying anything good or bad, but Charlotte looked like a completely different person.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And I was like, time changes everything, man. It's weird going back and watching this. Because it's something I thought I remembered so vividly. And I'm like, I forgot quite a bit in this.
Yeah.
So to be honest, on this NXT TakeOver run, I'm leaning on you a lot.
That's fine. You know I was down for this, but I'll be watching this religiously. When we have a cheeky little segment while the gals are getting ready. And when I say gals... I mean, while Ric Flair's, getting ready in the back.
Yeah.
Stall for a couple of minutes, lads. I'm not quite ready, you know. We have Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
That well-known wrestling mark, Chris Christopherson.
Do you know the connection? I presume not.
I am only aware of Chris Christopherson because, one, maybe from 40-year-old version, I think. That might be Michael McDonald getting which way around. But also, he has one of the greatest names that you would never let me actually use at the quiz of Quiz Stopperson.
Yeah.
Like, it's very good, but you guys never let me pull the trigger on that one. And we didn't. We never used it.
Because you pushed it too hard, mate. We could see you was really into it, so we just put a pin in it.
Bastards.
His son was in NXT at the time.
Under what name?
No idea, because he never made it to TV.
Brilliant.
So, technically, he was in the Performance Center before it was a Performance Center.
It was probably a Rosewood. That's probably why he was there.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. And I also was happy that the name came up, because if I'm honest, I didn't know that was Kris Kristofferson from just him being there. Then we got a Paige promo. She came down to the ring, gave a little hello, how are you? I was a little disappointed that it wasn't hold for effect. Hold, you're on camera now, Paige. Hold. It's Paige here. It wasn't quite that delightful promo.
With bizarrely lipstick all over her teeth.
It was so good, man. A Paige here. So twice I met you, damn it.
I swear, because they ran that at WrestleMania weekend, so obviously we saw it a lot. It was I so swear, good. The delay kept getting longer and longer and longer.
It was amazing. Oh, God. Yeah, I guess it was just nice to see Paige do stuff. It's actually a shame that we're probably not going to see her wrestle much now in this run, because obviously she's been called up as she's currently the Divas Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, puts everybody over, does good shit. Charlotte and Natty come out. Riggs has a lovely line of, I get goosebumps just seeing Rick in the same room. All I could think, and I'm pretty sure the same as you, is just the idea of Ric Flair with a bit of string tied around his penis and he's dancing it around.
Andy, you've not completed the phrase.
Go on.
Because Regal finished it off with, I get goosebumps and my liver starts shaking too.
Jesus, I missed that. I must have been too busy writing down, ha, goosebumps. Ha ha, string on penis. Okay. What a guy, man. It's fucking Regal. Also, I thought it was a nice touch that little Nate was ref.
Yeah, it was a nice... I thought they did everything really well in this match. So they brought the legends back to be in their respective corners.
There was actual reason for them to be there.
Yeah, yeah. To obviously bring more eyes to watch TakeOver, which is great.
Exactly.
What was even better is they didn't fucking interfere in the match.
No, nope, they were merely there just to highlight the fact they had a high-profile women's match on.
And then occasionally you'd see one of them shout or do something. Rick would ball his fist at Charles Robinson, which really made me laugh because he was so fucking pantomimed. It was untrue.
Now, you know how I was talking about Tully Blanchard's jazzy jackets and stuff? And
yeah.
You mentioned something about Rick and I was like, yeah. I'm going to sort of come back soon. For a man whose whole gimmick is kind of like elegance, like his opulent lifestyle and everything.
Yeah. Styling and profile.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jet flying, limo riding. Yeah.
Kiss stealing.
No, stop. he doesn't half always look disheveled. Like, it is ridiculous. The state of him by the end of that match, his shirt hanging out, his jacket's off. It is incredible how he always looks an absolute state.
Yeah, but Rick at the end of that match, where he just slams his jacket and then waves it around his head.
Incredible. I assume he, like, his wallet's in his jacket. And he must lose that every night because just, oh, God. So, yeah, essentially just Rick being Rick, it's funny. I enjoyed the fact that Brett is on the other side just laughing to himself.
Yeah, just casual as fuck.
Every time, just laughing to itself. When Charlotte's hair falls out and the crowd's like chanting, weave, weave, weave. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. So they're obviously desperately trying to get any other focus off whatever. Brett just walks over, kicks it underneath the apron to get out of the way and stuff. But he's laughing at the same time. The camera's showing him laughing at it. I was like, Brett, you just delightful little bastards. You just turned up and gone, fucking cares, man. No one's watching this. The girls are doing whatever they want. You know, they're having a great match. And they're just... Rick's being an idiot over there, as always. It was just so good, man. I really enjoyed those there. And then, yeah, what was just happening on in the middle, I... At this point in time, Natalya is obviously the best woman on the entire roster.
Yeah. She's essentially, I'm not going to say carrying the match, because that would be too harsh.
No, because I think Charlotte does great work as well, but she's definitely she's there to elevate it. Leading. Yeah. I don't think you could have had that, say, if Sasha had won. I know they were the BFFs, so you would have worked in some storyline, but say if like Sasha had won, you're probably not really buying that match as much, and I don't think it wouldn't have had that same feel to it yet.
Yeah. The only thing I could say about it is it started off a bit tentative. I think that was mainly due to whoever was in control in the back. Just basically going, okay, two women, you've got 20 minutes. That was literally unheard of at the time.
Yeah, don't get gassed in the first five because we giving you the time, do some shit.
Because Natalia had been on the main roster at that point, but...
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Working, what, 3-4 minute matches?
And I'm assuming with the likes of Alicia Fox.
Bella's not sort of...
Yeah, so there ain't much going up there. Maybe Layla and Michelle McCool. I'm not sure if they were still around the time. I guess they would have been. Mm. I think Layla's still on, isn't she?
So
you're not getting much up there. So for her to come down and actually do wrestling point.
I thought it was a really good match. Me personally, I preferred Paige versus Emma. But now simply because I preferred the two characters. So that.
It probably had more of a story to it, I guess. Whereas this one, they obviously just have to have the tournament.
But
they built it with the Legends thing, so it did happen. But I liked him.
This one continued to carry on opening the door for women in NXT to be pushed further. So
yeah, massive match, great.
Yeah, it was nice that there was no angle at the end. Like everyone just shook hands and like, "Yep, yeah, well done. Story's been told.
Exactly.
Let's move on."
Yes. Yes. Then we move on to a match that may not have ended in the same sportsmanship. We have Tyson Kidd and Adrian Neville in the main event. I honestly didn't know that it was Brodus Clay that knocked out Adrian Neville's teeth. I completely forgot about that incident, if I'm honest.
I did remember, but it was as I was watching the segment, I went, oh yeah, that happened.
Yeah. So, okay, cool.
Now, I presume that was just a classic Timothy Thatcher spot, no, where his teeth was already out.
Yeah, because he wore the gum shield anyway.
Yeah, and they could just like pop them in and out.
Yeah.
When he saw fit.
Exactly, so I wasn't sure about that. Much like you in the previous match, I don't have a lot of notes, because I was just watching it.
Yeah, because to be honest, I was sat there wondering, instead of making notes, how did they make Tyson Kidd a main eventer, like, and make it seem credible? But now,
because
then I was going back and thinking, at the beginning of NXT on the WWE Network, it wasn't so much about characters and gimmicks. At that time and to a degree now, it was more so they wanted to be about wrestling. So now we're going to put the best wrestlers on show. And now we're going to put everything else in around it afterwards. But if you could wrestle, you would get a chance.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that to an extent. But I mean, if you go back to the opening match of this card, You've got someone like Adam Rose, who's basically 100% character.
Yeah.
So they were starting to let people let loose and, you know, actually try.
But also, Adam Rose was nowhere near the main event scene.
Oh, no.
No,
obviously not.
It was like, we've got one shot at credibility. We're literally just going to go for this.
I think that's why I liked NXT, because I naturally you get caught up in the stories and stuff over time. That's kind of what it is. But I'm always there for the athleticism and the sporting part of it. I like that shit when people have good matches. That's what I'm there for.
It was more so let the wrestlers wrestle and let the story develop naturally, which is probably one of the better things in NXT. They didn't force anything home.
No, it was rare if they did.
And then when they did do like crazy bollocks with the gimmick, it was actually enjoyable because it was a small portion of the show.
Well, let's put it this way.
It's time for some bollocks, it's fine.
Because like right now, I'm not annoyed with Mojo Rawley.
Oh, I am. Massively. But, you know.
At this point in time, I'm get what he's doing there on the show. I understand kind of what he's there for. He's going to get a few, you know, obvious wins over some bollocks. He might step up and be an easy feud for somebody and just lose, you know, but he's going to be there. He's going to get the crowd involved. I get that. So he doesn't annoy me currently at the moment. But anyway, getting back to the actual main event. Obviously, Cesaro and Christian were in the crowd, which is just a bit weird. Knowing all the Christians there, but sure.
just wants this isn't good wrestling, mate.
Probably, yeah. Cesaro and Kid, is this before they're a tag team, I assume?
Great question.
Because I was genuinely trying to remember which way around it was, because they do become a tag team, right?
I've got a feeling this was after their tag run.
But surely it must be before that, because I thought he got injured whilst he was tagging with Cesaro, and then Cesaro had to go out on his own again because Kid wasn't coming back.
Yes, yeah, you are right.
Because that's what sucks, because he finally was getting a little bit of a push.
He didn't get injured in a tag match because he got injured in a match with Samoa Joe on Superstars. Bizarrely. Yes. Because Cesaro started using the sharpshooter.
Because I remember.
Well, 100%.
Because obviously they used to do the swing. And yeah. Tyson Kidd would fly off like the fucking turnbuckle and kick the shit out of you or something, wouldn't it? Cool.
So yeah, they finally got Tyson Kidd over. You know, deserved a push.
Yeah, unfortunately, blows his neck or back out, whatever it was.
I think it was his neck.
Whatever Joe did to him with the buckle bomb or whatever. Muscle buster. Muscle buster.
The buckle buster was Seth Rollins, right?
Yes, I know.
That's how he killed Sting.
Yeah, and also injured another NXT champion.
Yeah, fucking hell.
And the first ever Universal Champion. Weird. Never wrestled for it since, I believe.
No, he did, but years later.
Oh, he did actually get another go in it. Because I honestly, like, wasn't even sure they gave him another chance. Because it was during this time that I also been reminded that the Usos were the first NXT tag champs, which I kind of forgot, to be honest.
That
got mentioned, I think, during the Ascension match. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, sort of a bit of that. But absolute banger of a match. Really enjoyed it. I always enjoy that double cross body thing where they meet in the middle. It just always looks rough.
Like the car crash in the middle of the ring, essentially.
Yeah, the malfunction at the junction. The horror phrase from Mario Ranallo. Yeah, I don't know, that spot always stands out for me. I've not really got the actual notes on it, because I said I was just watching it. It was great. It was what you'd expect from Kid and Neville at that time. Brilliant.
It's still so weird to like look back and see Neville as such a clean cut.
I know.
Baby face, you know.
In those terrible grey. Underpants, though.
And Regal calls in a jumping Jordy at least three times.
No. Only does it once, because I made a note of this, because in the previous pay-per-view, Jesus Christ, they were calling the Man of Gravity Forgot every 5 seconds. They called him the jumping Jordy all the time. They only called him Newcastle's favourite son once. I think they remembered Sabobby. And this time, they only said it, I think, once each. I was like, okay, you've learnt your lesson from last time. He's fucking pounded it in. Like, he doesn't have this many nicknames. Where's he getting these from? So, yeah.
When really, he's only got one.
The bastard!
But it can't be repeated on PG television.
Okay.
He would have been called a bleep.
Yeah. No. In fairness, you could say bastard on American TV, I think.
No, I don't think you can. Well, you obviously could, can.
Because you can say, like son of a bitch and stuff. I think bastard, like, that's not really a thing for them.
You can say piss as well, can't you?
Yeah, you can also say piss. It's always weird. But you can mention, like, on an episode of Emmerdale, someone just says piss. Like, nah, come on. No one's saying that.
Yeah, I'm just going for a piss, mate. You'd be like, what?
You what? Shut up, you knobhead. all right, so what rating are you giving this? If you consulted the spreadsheet. I think we gave it a 3 last week for Arrival. Is that correct?
2 seconds, let me load it up.
Come on, man. I've got a feel for time. I feel like you should have been prepared.
It is 3 each. Luckily, I've got a very quick PC, Andrew, so it's fine.
Fair enough.
To be honest, I'm giving it a 3 again.
As am I. I'll tell you why. You've not asked.
Don't do the spot again. Don't do the spot again, mate.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. So, first match, pointless. Second match, pointless. We were a good almost halfway through the show where it actually gave me a match that I cared about, of Sammy versus Tyler. Obviously, the Women's Championship match, great match. And then, the Rusev bollocks, it was pointless. And then the main event, which was good, but not spectacular, I guess. So,
yep.
Kind of all evens itself out for an average of 3 for me. I think it's getting there. But it was a bit of a slow burner, this one.
I completely agree with you. It's like they've not got a roster big enough to actually fill out a takeover card at the moment.
Yeah, it's strange, but I'd like to see what they do have, because I'd be going, but I'll be booking this, I'll be booking that. But probably in reality, they're green as fuck, I assume. You're actually watching the TV in between. I assume they were green as fuck. But for what you know now, you're like, well, why are they booking then? So, yeah. I'm excited for next time, which I don't know if you've looked yet. I can't remember what the next one is.
I'm pretty sure it's the...
Is it the Fatal 4-Way, or is that...
I'm pretty sure it's NXT... Takeover Fatal 4-Way, which, you know, rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, okay. Well, we will look forward to that next week. This is Dorm of the Time, the show where you tell me to shout out the socials. Get the thumbs up. I thought we were waiting for the... It's Paige here. It's time for the socials. we are Chaps Out Last. You can find us on all the major podcast networks, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Apple, Amazon, you might have said two or twice, I don't know. Wherever you find your podcasts, go check us out. You can find us on social medias at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, just search for at Chaps Out Last. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, and you can also check us out on YouTube. I believe the content continues on there. Again, there's no actual videos. I believe it's just audio content, but still, one of these days, if we learn how to video edit or we just put it on in one take, you may get to see my lovely face and sometimes drop my trousers.
Well essentially, no, I'll just see you knee at this moment in time.
It's quite right, though, isn't it? Like Adidas stripes there. Other brands are available, unless Adidas wish to sponsor us, if they do wish to. Morning.
Jesus Christ. On that note, Andrew, we're going home.
I'm already at home. I work from there. I live there. We can never leave. But until next time, peace out!